Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
Does your belief impact or affect your behavior? You know, the world is in desperate need for authentic Christians. Christians whose belief flows from the Word of God into their lifestyle. Next, on Daily in the Word, we rediscover authentic Christianity with Dr. Paul Chappell. The Christian life and the ways of Jesus Christ, the faith of God's Word, is dramatically, horribly misrepresented in today's culture. The secular world doesn't really get it. What they need to see is authentic Christianity lived out before them through your life and through mine. Welcome to Daily in the Word, the daily radio ministry and the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. It's a joy to minister to you every Monday through Friday via this program. And presently, we're studying what it means to be an authentic Christian. What does the authentic Christian life really look like? I hope you'll enjoy every step of this series. Before we join today's message, don't forget to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to recent programs and also how to subscribe to the daily devotional and the daily podcast of Daily in the Word. And I hope you'll send a friend a link to listen to Dr. Chappell by way of this program. Today we turn to Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 through 23 as we study the fourth message in this series, the salvation of an authentic Christian. Here's Paul Chappell.
There is coming a day when men will stand before the Lord. They will stand before Him at a time of judgment, and they will say to the Lord, Lord, Lord. They will call out to Him and remind the Lord of their good works that they have done. And yet they will hear on that day the Lord simply saying, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These will be men and women, perhaps, who perceive themselves right now today to be Christian. And yet on that day, they will hear the Lord say these awful words, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, in today's definition, the term Christian is used very, very loosely. It seems like a lot of people use the term born again, use the term Christian. And we hear that term often. In fact, many demographic studies of foreign countries will use the term Christian to include anything that, for example, is not Hindu or anyone that is not Buddhist in the country then will be called a Christian. And we see this terminology used very loosely. I have spoken to many people here in our own country who, for example, consider themselves Christians because they live in America. One man said to me, well, he said, this is one nation under God and I live in this nation, so I must be a Christian. And sometimes people use faulty logic and unbiblical reasoning to consider themselves to be a Christian. And this morning we will learn that an authentic Christian is a person who has been authentically saved the Bible way. The message is simply entitled, The Salvation of an Authentic Christian. And I want you to notice with me this morning, God, by His own definition, giving to us in His Word the narrow way of salvation. The narrow way of salvation. And notice with me this morning three things about God's way or God's plan of salvation. First of all, we'll see this morning that salvation is provided by God alone. Salvation is provided by God alone. Many of you have seen the placards, John 3:16, and most of you know the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, before we ever thought about God, He loved us. Before we ever considered a relationship with God, He loved us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Think about that verse. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, theologically, we would say that God is the prime mover of salvation. He is the one who made the first move towards us. He is the one who began loving us before we were ever existing on this earth. And the fact of the matter is, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, there is none that seeketh after God. The human race has gone after its own way and not naturally, normally seeking after God. But God in His grace has provided salvation. Salvation is provided by God alone. May I say this morning, first of all, as we consider that salvation is provided by God alone, that salvation is not provided by a religious organization. Salvation is not provided by a religious organization. If you are here this morning and you believe that because you belong to a particular church or you're a part of a particular religious organization and you believe that because you belong to that church, you are saved and on your way to heaven, my friend, may I say to you with all love and with all due respect, you have been deceived. There is no church that can forgive your sin. There is no church that can provide a way of salvation for you. Hebrews chapter 10 is in your notes this morning, and it simply says in verses 11 through 12, And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Christ, after he had suffered once one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, these verses are speaking to the Hebrews and speaking to them about the fact that their priest could offer only a temporary covering for sin through the sacrificial system, but that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross and when He rose up again the third day, then Jesus Christ, now seated at the right hand of God the Heavenly Father, has with His one sacrifice provided a way whereby our sins might be forgiven. In other words, if we're looking to a church or to a pastor or to a priest or to a membership in a church to take our sins away, then we are being deceived today by a religious organization. My friends, please understand this. Walking into this church, being a member of this church, will not make you a Christian any more than going to the Elks Club will make you an elk. Any more than walking into your garage will make you a car. You cannot think that because you're a member of a church, you are a Christian. Salvation is not something that is provided by a religious organization. It is something that is provided by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so it is not a religious organization that provides salvation. Secondly, may I say this morning, it is not a global organization. Now you say, well, that's a strange thing. Most people should know that. Oh, many of you may know that, but we live in a world today that somehow believes they can save themselves. Somehow through enough global interconnecting, somehow through enough planning and organization, they can provide their own salvation. Some look to a religious organization for salvation, but others are looking toward salvation through global organizing. Last month in Washington, D.C., a group called the Academy of Humanism gathered for their annual meeting. And in what is called the Humanist Manifesto 2000, they wrote these words, and I quote, As we enter the new millennium, we should not worry about Armageddon, but rather untap the tremendous human potentiality within us all. We call for a motion and the establishment of a new world parliament, which would be stronger and more active than the United Nations. Now, these men gathering together, men such as anthropologist Paul Leakey and former Senator Alan Cranston and other liberal-minded, God-hating, God-denying people, believe that somehow without God, they can save this world. Somehow without faith in Christ, they can create a way to make a better world. And they're not trusting in God. They're not trusting in the Word of God. They're not trusting in Jesus Christ. They are trusting in global organization and bringing together human effort to somehow save themselves. Now, I don't know how to tell these gentlemen exactly, and as I have opportunity, I will share with various ones in the humanist thought process the fact that their ideas are nothing new. You go back to the Bible in Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 4, the citizens of the world just after Noah, as these citizens of the world gathered together, the Bible says, and they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Think of what they said. They said, "Let us build us a city. Let us make us a name." In other words, their goal as they built the Tower of Babel was not to glorify God, it was to glorify themselves. They said, if we all get together, we can get up to God by ourselves. Why, we don't need God's plan. We don't need the blood sacrifice. We can find our own way to God. So the Bible says in Genesis 11 and verse 9, "Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth." God saw what they were doing and He confused their languages so that they could not work together, so that their tower was not completed. And you see, it has never been, and it will never be, global organizing that will save mankind from their sins. Salvation is provided by God and God alone. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Friend, if you're here this morning and you understand what salvation is all about, if you understand the salvation of an authentic Christian, you recognize that salvation is provided by God alone, not by religion, not by global organizations. Salvation comes by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's notice secondly this morning, this matter of salvation. We see secondly that it is received by faith alone. It is received by faith alone. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says, if you would, in Romans chapter 10. Let's turn this morning to Romans chapter 10. As we see that salvation is received by faith alone. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 is a very important verse concerning the subject of faith. And it simply says these words, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes I ask people, "How did you come to know the Lord as Savior? How did you become a Christian?" And they'll tell various different illustrations and stories and experiences, but they never seem to say, "I heard a Bible message," or "I became aware of the fact through the Scriptures, through hearing a message or through a friend from the Scriptures that I needed Christ as my Savior." But my friend, until we hear the Word of God and respond to the teachings of the Word of God, we don't know where to put our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I thank God that on April the 5th, 1972, someone opened up the Bible and showed me from the Bible that I was a sinner and that God loved me even before I was ever born and that Jesus died for me and that if I as a sinner would receive Christ as Savior, that I could be saved by God's grace. That's the salvation of an authentic Christian. And so faith comes by hearing the Word of God. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not sure that heaven is your home, if you'll open your heart to the Word of God today, you will have the ability to put faith in God's Word and be saved even today. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. But secondly, faith must be placed in Christ alone. Faith must be placed in Christ alone. Now, many people put faith in their church and Christ, in their good works and Christ, in their various deeds and Christ. But faith must be placed in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Some of you will recall in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21, how that there were many fiery serpents biting the children of Israel, and many were dying. And so God told Moses, I want you to take a serpent, put it on the top of a staff, and lift it up before the people. And he said in the book of Numbers, whoever will look to that serpent will be saved. The venomous bite of the snake will not take their life. And so in John chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus says, even as the serpents were lifted up in the wilderness, even as the serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? Because when men and women will look to Jesus Christ alone, they can be saved. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Jesus claimed an exclusive right to this matter of salvation because of the work of Calvary. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Now someone might say, well, I've been to Antelope Valley College and I've had a comparative religious class and I've learned that there are many different ways to come to God. You have not learned the truth according to the Word of God. Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank God for His provision through Christ. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith must be placed in Christ alone. And then thirdly, faith, if it is truly faith, must exclude our works. Faith must exclude our works. Now again, many people say, well, yeah, I believe in God, but I've also tried to keep these commandments and these sacraments and do these various things. And I think when I get to heaven, there'll be a scales. And if the good outweighs the bad, then I'll get into heaven. Well, my friend, if that's what you believe today, then you are not truly putting faith in Christ alone. Faith must exclude works. We think of our text this morning, Matthew 7, 22. How that many will say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done wonderful works? Someone might say, well, Lord, I gave to the March of Dimes, and I went to church often, and I tried to be a good neighbor, and I spoke in tongues, and I ran up and down the aisles speaking in tongues, and I had all kinds of various experiences, and I cast out devils and prophesied, and I did all of these different things, you see. But none of those things mean that someone is saved. None of those things are the indication of salvation. And it's very clear in the text, Matthew 7 and verse 22. In fact, my friend, God never says that we have to do any particular works in order to find our way to heaven. He says only believe. The Philippian jailer said to the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? And the Apostle simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Putting your faith in Christ alone is what is necessary for salvation. I think of Luke chapter 23. And I see there Jesus Christ suspended upon the cross. And on either side of Christ, there were thieves hanging that day. You'll recall one thief was blasphemous. One thief was hardened in his heart. One thief said to Jesus Christ, if you're the Son of God, then get us down off these crosses. Get us out of this mess, essentially. But the other thief, as he looked at Jesus, he simply uttered these words, Lord, Lord, remember me. Jesus looked at him and said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Do you understand that that thief never had time to go to Sunday school? He never was baptized, and so for a church that says you must be baptized in water to be saved, we must conclude that the thief on the cross was not truly saved. That thief on the cross never had time to do some of the good deeds that we're told you must do in order to go to heaven. He had time to do one thing, and that one thing was to put his faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God he made that decision because Jesus honored that faith and Jesus saw that faith. A study of the world's false religions will show that no matter how divergent their various doctrines may be, they all have one major tenet in common, and that is that they teach salvation must be earned. False teachings today, false religions today, all have this one truth in common, that salvation must be earned. But the Bible teaches that salvation is the gift of God available to a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who will put their faith in Jesus Christ. Years ago, there was an artist in London, and this particular artist enjoyed painting pictures of the modern life there in his city. And so on a particular occasion, he thought to himself, I'm going to paint one of these street people, one of these beggars here. He said, I think that would make a statement about society, and I'm going to find one of these beggars that will let me take him to my studio and do a painting of him. And so one day he found a man that was disheveled in his appearance, a scraggly beard and a bent-up cap and holes in his pants, and a man who was obviously had been living in the streets for many, many months. And the artist went to the man and he said, Sir, he said, I would like to have the opportunity, if you would allow me to bring you to my studio, I would like to have the opportunity to do a portrait of you so that I might be able to depict the lifestyle that you're exhibiting here. And he said, I will be glad to pay you a handsome fee if you'll come to my studio tomorrow. They arranged that the beggar would come to his studio about 10 o'clock the next day. 10 o'clock the next day, a man came to the studio. He knocked on the door. The artist opened the door, and here was a man. Having been cleanly shaved, a clean haircut, a new outfit on, he said, Sir, I'm ready for my portrait. I'm ready for you to paint me now. I'm all ready. And the artist looked at him. He said, Oh, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I really needed you just the way you were. He said, I really can't use you now the way that you're appearing today. And you know, some people misunderstand what Jesus wants. Some people think if they'll clean themselves up, then one day they'll be acceptable to God. But the fact of the matter is that only the blood of Christ can cleanse away our sins. And when we stand before Jesus and say, Lord, I prophesied in your name, and Lord, I was a really good person for you, and so now let me into heaven, Jesus is going to say to some of those, depart from me. I never knew you. You never put your faith in me while you had the opportunity. And so salvation is received by faith alone. It's not because of our cleaning ourselves up. It's because of our putting faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the salvation of an authentic Christian, what does the Bible say about it? First of all, it says that salvation is provided by God alone. God loves you. Secondly, the Bible says it is provided by faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But thirdly, we see this morning that the salvation of an authentic Christian is secured by Christ alone. The salvation of an authentic Christian is secured by Christ alone. Now, friends, God in His sovereign plan of salvation has determined that salvation would be provided through Christ alone. For God so loved the world that He, God, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God has determined that His Son, Jesus, would be the payment for sin. And so salvation is secured by Christ alone. Now there are three things that Christ can provide in salvation for you. Now I want you to think about this today as we think about authentic salvation. First of all, Jesus Christ can provide the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ can provide the forgiveness of your sins. When someone is truly saved the Bible way, their sins are forgiven, washed away as far as the east is from the west by the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, my friend, you can go to a church and you can get in a little booth and tell the man all your sins if you want, but I'm sorry to say today, that's not found in the Bible. You can tell me your sins. I wouldn't want to hear them. But you could try to tell a person your sins, and you could try to have some way to pay for your sins on your own. But you see, friend, the fact of the matter is, Ephesians 1:7 says, it is through the redemption of His blood that we have the forgiveness of sins.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Friend, if you have questions about how to trust Christ as your Savior, how to begin that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you hear about so often on this program, we would love to visit with you about it. We'd love to talk with you about it and help you understand what it means to truly become an authentic Christian, a Christian who truly believes in Christ as the only Savior. I want to encourage you to write to us or email us or give us a call. I'll give you the contact information in just a moment. And we would love to visit with you about how to trust Christ as your personal Savior. We are very excited about some new resources that are being made available through our publications ministry. You can find links to these resources and more information when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit the website, you'll find links to Dr. Chappell's most recent book. It's entitled In Desert Places, What Happens When Unlikely People in Unlikely Places Encounter the Presence of God. Friend, if you're in a desert place in your life, if you're in a place where you're wondering what God is really doing, if the canvas of your future is sort of blank and you're looking for the hand of God, this book will greatly encourage you. In Desert Places, it's available when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Also on the website, you'll find links to the podcast, the daily broadcast, and recent broadcasts. You'll also find a link to a daily devotional, a free email subscription to that, and much more information about our ministry. Again, it's all found at dailyintheword.org. We would love to hear from you by phone as well. You can call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, if you'd like to write to us, our address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, the best way to find out more about our program or about the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell is to visit dailyintheword.org. Thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.